All right, if you would tonight, take your Bibles.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sort of strange not going into the book of Acts. We have done that for so long. We had 30 different lessons in the book of Acts, and so we finished that up last Wednesday night. And we could start back in Acts chapter 1 and take a total different view of things and do it differently, but I think there's other things in the Scripture. And so we maybe try to get another series up here before too long. But until then, just take some messages like just a normal time together. And tonight we want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 41. And we'll read down through verse number 49. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Tonight in these verses we see a strong contrast between earthly and heavenly. We see a contrast between that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. The Scripture in other places tell us that they're always contrary one to another. The flesh will fight against the spirit, and the spirit fights against the flesh. They have nothing in common because we are of that first man, Adam, and he was earthy. He was earthly. He was made of the dust of the earth, and he was a man. And we have that flesh upon us, just like Adam did. And we have the tendencies as Adam to falter and to fail and to go against the Lord. We have every potential of doing the things that are given to us in the Scripture that we should not do because we are of the flesh. Now, my flesh has not been redeemed yet, but thank God my soul has and my spirit has. And one day my flesh will be totally redeemed. And we hear that in other places where Paul writes, even in the next few verses, those great verses concerning the mystery where we shall not all sleep, but we're going to be raised, and in that resurrection we'll have a good new body. We'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And he tells us there that it's going to happen at the last trump. For this corruption must put on incorruption. This flesh must put on spiritual. And the Lord is going to make that happen. The mortal will put on immortality. That which is passing away one day will live forever. Thank God there's the contrast. And all the way through these verses we have that contrast between corruption and incorruption, mortality and immortality, the living and the dead, the flesh and the spirit. And all throughout the Bible we see that contrast. And so tonight I want us to sort of key in on you and I that are saved, that we are heavenly people. Sometimes we don't act too heavenly. Sometimes we don't look too heavenly. Sometimes we don't have much aspect about us and our personal ways that would even mimic heaven. But as a believer, as a Christian, we have something ahead of us. We have a joy. We have a future that is ahead of us that is heavenly. And so therefore the Scripture tells us that we are a heavenly people. We are destined to go to heaven if we're saved. We believe that when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they are destined one day to enter to the very portals of glory. And
The Lord's going to work on us, and the Lord's going to take care of us, and He's going to help us. And even in these verses that we mentioned a moment ago, the corruptible will put on incorruption, and the mortal will put on immortality. And so the Lord's going to work on us until He gets us to heaven. And we'll be a finished product, and it'll be the right kind of product. It'll be perfect and pure. And as we mentioned this past Sunday, that even the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body that is prepared for Him, and it's going to be presented to Him one day as a spotless and spotless bride. And so these are things that we have to look forward to as a child of God. Children of God are a heavenly people. Even though we live in the flesh, even though we live upon this earth, we are earthy, as the Scripture tells us here. Everything about us is fleshly. Everything about us has to do with the earth. But one day we're headed to glory, and thank God we are a heavenly people. So I want us to look at six or seven things tonight concerning this heavenly people, what we have in our life, and the things that God has bestowed upon us and has blessed us with. Number one, we have been born with a heavenly birth. Now the Scripture again gives us contrast between the earthly birth and a heavenly birth. We call that the new birth. We call that salvation. And so tonight, we that are people that's headed toward heaven, to get there, we must have a right kind of birth. We must have a heavenly birth. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." The next verse says, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God." You and I tonight, we have been born again by the will of the Lord. It's not by the works of the flesh. It's not by what we are or who we are. It's not by the will of man. It's not by what bloodline we are. But we have salvation tonight. We have a heavenly birth tonight by the will of God. I'm glad He wanted us to know Him. I'm glad He made it possible that we could fall upon our face before the Lord, repent of our sin, and turn to Him knowing that He will save us. And if you turn over just to the chapter 3 there in John, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, the Lord, I believe, compares a physical birth to a spiritual birth. There are differences involved, but there are also similarities. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Those are very plain words. If a person wants to see God, if a person wants to enter into God's kingdom, he must be born again. So that's a new birth. That's something that's going to take place. We have our fleshly birth, but there's got to be a heavenly or a spiritual birth if we're going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked the question. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus was very earthy here. He was very fleshly. Nicodemus, being an adult, an older man, he said, "How am I going to be born again? Am I going to go back into my mother's womb and be birthed again?" He was talking about that fleshly birth. He was talking about that birth that is common to all of us. And Nicodemus just could not understand. He could not see the spiritual ramifications of what the Lord was telling him. And so he asked the question. He said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? How can that be done? Can a man be born when he is old? Can it happen again?" And Jesus answers him in verse 5 of John 3. "Verily, verily," Jesus says, and those words "verily, verily" just means "truly, truly." The Lord said, "I'm going to tell you a truth here." He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then he goes on and says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's earth, earthy. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's heavenly. That's spiritual. So there's a fleshly birth and there's a spiritual birth. You and I tonight, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we have been born with a heavenly birth. Thank God. Now, some people differ with me on what I believe verse number 5 says. But that's okay. I may be wrong, or they may be wrong. But I believe the Lord here is talking about two kinds of birth, because of the next verse, it gives you that. Now, some people say, except a man be born of water, and that water means the Word of God. I won't disagree with that. That application is all through the Scripture. But I believe, keeping it in context here, I believe Jesus is talking about that spiritual birth, that fleshly birth, and then also of the spiritual birth. The only way a person can go to heaven, he's got to be born first, and he's got to be born again second. You've got to have two births. If you're born twice, you only die once. Thank God we're just going to die one time. That's physically. We'll never die spiritually. But if a person's only born one time, that's physical birth, and he's going to die twice. He's going to die physically, and then the Scripture talks about, in the book of Revelation, talks about that second birth, or second death. And he's going to die twice. And so when the Lord here is talking about born of water, I believe he's talking about a fleshly birth, or a birth that is earthy, and then also of the Spirit, because the next verse, I believe, explains what he's just said in verse 5. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nicodemus, you're born of the flesh. You have that birth. That's the birth that I'm talking about. But you must be born again. You've got that flesh birth, and flesh is flesh. But what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So tonight, we're going to go to heaven because... yes, we were born into this world, into this life, but thank God we've been born again. Ye must be born again. That's that spiritual birth. And that makes us a heavenly people. That makes us a people that's headed toward the glories of God. That makes us a people that our direction, our path has been laid out for us, and one day we'll enter in, because He that began a good work in us, He will perform it until the day of redemption. That's when we're redeemed body, soul, and spirit. You see, when we die, Christian goes to heaven. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. That's our soul and our spirit. As time progresses, of course, we know that when we die, they put the body in the earth. Then many, many people down through history that have died, and they've gone back to the earth. They're earthy. That's the earthy part of us. Oh, but thank God for that new birth. We have a spiritual birth. We have a spiritual part. We have a new life. We have that new home. And so the Lord tells us that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. When a person dies, their body goes back, the Scripture says, back to the dust of the earth. That's where we came from. That's what we are. Somebody a few years ago, I took all the elements and everything about the body and tried to put a value on it, and we're worth a whole lot, about $1.43. That's what it all comes down to. Inflation now, maybe $2. We're just not worth a whole lot. We're earthy. All but spiritual side, we're worth all the world. We're worth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. On the other side of it, we are so much greater than the earthly side of it. And so we find here the first man is of the earth, the second man is from heaven. And when we come, and the last Adam, when we come to him, thank God our home is in heaven. It's not in the earth. It's not just to dwindle away and be nothing. We're not like the animals. God made us different. And there are verses even in this. Our flesh is different. Look at verse number 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. So we find that we're different. Man is different than the beast of the field and the animals that roam. We are made of the earth, yes, and they are, but we have a different flesh. We have a flesh that can be redeemed. We have a flesh that one day that will be redeemed. You see, when we die, we are put in the ground, our body deteriorates and decays. But there's a day coming, thank God we shall not all sleep. There's a day coming when we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. The Bible says, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's talking about my flesh. It's going to be raised incorruptible. We die corrupted. And those verses tonight that we read tells us there that there is corruption and there is problems with that. But the Scripture says here that we're going to be the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The souls of men have long been with the Lord. Those men and women, boys and girls that have trusted Jesus Christ from all the eons of time past, they're in heaven waiting. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for the resurrection. This old body that's put in the ground. And one day a new body will be given to us and be just like the Lord's body. Be just like Him. And we won't have the problems. It's going to be raised incorruptible. And the body and the soul will once again be united. And what a joy heaven will be. We are a heavenly people. We are a glorious, blessed people because of what Christ has done for us. We have a natural birth, but thank God we have a spiritual birth. And if we're going to see the kingdom of God, there's got to be both of them. You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You must understand that. And so the Lord tells us, this heavenly people that He has, they have not just a fleshly birth, but they have a heavenly birth. Thank God for that. Not only that, but the book of Ephesians tells us that we that are saved, we are seated in the heavenlies. We are seated in heavenly places. I'm just going to read in Ephesians, and you can turn there if you want to. I'll start in chapter 1. And I've got them printed out here, so I'm going to just read them to you. This is, there's four times, I believe, in the book of Ephesians that we see that little phrase, heavenly places. That's what God has prepared for us, because we are a heavenly people. Now notice verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you want something, blessings, if you want some things good, you got to be in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we are seated together in heavenly places with Him. Or literally, we're seated in the heavens. We're seated in the heavenlies because we are a heavenly, spiritual, born again, saved people. And so He puts us together and He's blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's all because of Him. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20, it says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Or in the heavens. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We find He has put Him in the heavenly places. That's the same place we're going. So we're going to be where the Lord is. Verse number 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It seems as though Paul is trying to get across to these Ephesian believers that there's something waiting us. There's something over there called heaven. The heavenlies, the heavenly places. And He hath raised us up together. He's made us set together. And one day we'll set together in the heavenly places with the Lord. And thank God for that. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10. To inherit, or to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There are some heavenly places that God has for us. Not just the heavens, but thank God there are some blessings on this side. So we as a heavenly people, we've been birthed with a heavenly birth, and now we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. The third thing, and it goes back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we have been blessed with heavenly blessings. We have blessings of the Lord. Blessed be the God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have spiritual blessings tonight because of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to take time and go around the building, one person at a time, and just list four or five heavenly blessings, it'd be wonderful to understand what God's done for us. It'd be great just to maybe sometime sit down in our own personal study or our time of meditation around the things of God and just think about what the Scripture says there in Ephesians 1:3, that we have been blessed with spiritual blessings. We have the Lord. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit. So many spiritual blessings that God has given to us. And we've been blessed with that because we are heavenly people. We belong to Him. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, the Scripture says, glorify God in your bodies. This old earthly body that we have still can glorify the Lord, even though it's earthy. Even though it's sinful, even though it's, it does things wrong, and even though it's weak and it's frail, and sometimes we really get involved in things away from God, but we can still bless the Lord, and we can still have the blessings of God because we have a new birth. Now, just because we have a new birth, that does not make us where that we can just live any way we want to live. You know, that's the modern society thinking, that I can live any way I want to live, do what I want to do, act the way I want to act, and just ask God to forgive me. Well, they don't work that way. Because if we live and act and do and do all those things continually, the Bible says we probably don't even belong to Him. The Bible says, well, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So I'll just make sure there's plenty of sin so there'll be plenty of grace. Paul said to that idea, God forbid. He said, never think that way, because just because we have grace to cover our sin, we don't go out and sin so there'll be more grace. The grace is to cover our sin, and thank God it does, because we have heavenly blessings in the Lord, because we are His people. And since we are His people, we should desire to live for Him and serve Him and be what we should be for Him, even though we are earthy. We are sinful. Thank God. Our soul, our lives, we've been saved. But this old flesh still battles continually. And sometimes the flesh wins the battle. We don't like to admit it. We don't put that out for people to know. But we all know that there are days, there are times, and moments of our time that flesh wins. We succumb. We give in. We give over. And say, what's the use? But as a child of God, as soon as we do that, I believe that spiritual side of us said, you ought not have done that. You ought not have acted that way. That's why we need to have a continual repentant heart toward God. We are earthy and we do struggle with so many issues. But when the Lord has saved us, He makes us to understand these things that come to us, that we can have blessings even through that. We have been born with a heavenly birth. We have been seated in heavenly places. We are blessed with heavenly blessings. And Hebrews chapter 3 in verse number 1 says that we have been called with a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of what? The holy calling. He's talking here to brethren. Paul is writing, I believe, the book of Hebrews. I believe he writes to the holy brethren of the Jewish people. And he says, brethren. And he, just sort of almost like a parenthesis, he said, partakers of the heavenly calling. You and I tonight, we've had a heavenly calling. Our salvation is not of this world. It's not of the flesh. It's not of what we might think or what we would do. Our salvation, our calling is a heavenly call. One day the Lord came to our heart and He made Himself known to us. He saved us. He not only made Himself available to us, but He saved us. And that's a heavenly calling. And Paul could write to these Hebrew Christians and say, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling is what makes us holy brethren. The calling from God is what makes us different, what makes us real. That heavenly calling there in Hebrews 3:1 is what makes us brethren and brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what puts us in the family of God, named in heaven and earth. Thank the Lord. We have a heavenly calling. It comes from above. It comes from the Lord. This first man is of the earth, but the second man is from heaven. That second Adam, this one that we're talking about, this one that is real. And the Bible says that such are they also that are heavenly. That's born again. That's you and I. We have heavenly blessings and we have a heavenly calling. Go with me, if you would, for a moment. You won't have to say anything. But in your mind, go with me back to the day you got saved. Think about it a moment. There's a heavenly calling. It's when God moved in. It's when the Lord made Himself known to us. A salvation that is real is a salvation that is from heaven. It's a salvation that is a calling from God. And He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson." That's the calling from heaven. That's the call that comes to us. And we are known as, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I heal their land." And so the Scripture tells us here that these things are given to us from heaven above, because that last Adam is from heaven. The first Adam threw us into oblivion. The first Adam sinned. The first Adam did everything wrong. Oh, but the last Adam, he's from heaven. And that makes it different. That makes it life for us and makes us a heavenly people. If you just stay on Adam's side, you're earthy. It won't last. You'll die without God. But if you take the words of the last Adam, if you take his life, he's from heaven, and the Scripture says spiritual. Heavenly calling, a heavenly people. We are, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, I love to do these word studies. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that we have been kept for a heavenly inheritance. You and I tonight, because we have a heavenly birth, have all this other heavenly places, the blessings, the call, there's an inheritance waiting for us. There's something that one day is going to be ours. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "We've come to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven." It doesn't stop there. He says, "for you." Who is it? Who's the you there? The next verse says, "who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation." Praise the Lord, tonight we have an inheritance. We have something that one day we'll grasp. One day will be ours. Called heaven. And all the joys of heaven, all the wonderful things that heaven has in store for His people. And God has made us a heavenly people. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. The Bible says, "for our conversation." Now, if you look the word and see what that whole context of that, the word conversation is a word that means citizenship. It's not just talking. We have a different idea of conversation in the Western world. "For our conversation," or you can put citizenship right there and you do no damage. Our citizenship, our conversation, guess what? It's in heaven. "From whence also we look for the Savior," that heavenly person, "the Lord Jesus Christ." So tonight we have all these things that's associated with heaven. We have that inheritance that we're going to claim one day, and we can only claim it because the testator has died, Hebrews tells us. That's Jesus Christ. He has died. And you don't have an inheritance unless somebody dies. And so we can claim our inheritance because of that. And thank God I'm a part of a citizenship that is in heaven. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. America has a... tonight the United States has a roll, we take a census. People fuss about it and all that stuff, but we still take a census. They make it so political, and I understand why they fuss about it. But if we just know, we just want to know how many people we have in our country. That's the real reason for a census. So you'll know how many is there. How many is a part of the country? How many is a part of this nation? Other countries have the same thing. Have population, census. We belong to that country. Tonight, we that have been born in this nation, we are citizens of America because of our birth. Other folks are citizens of their country because of their birth. You know what? I'm a citizen of heaven tonight because of my birth. Been born again. Spiritual birth. Heavenly birth. And so, therefore, that makes my citizenship is in heaven. My name's on the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God tonight that we are headed that direction. We are going there because of the birth that has been given to us. The joy of the Lord, the knowledge that He's given to us, the salvation that is given to us. Everything about us after salvation is identified as heavenly, other than that earthly part that still has to be dealt with. Thank God tonight we are heavenly people. We're not somebody's doormat. We're heavenly people. We're not somebody that doesn't know anything. We believe in heaven because this book teaches us that we are a heavenly people. And we have a representative. See, our form of government is representative. We don't vote on every little detail that comes up. Sometimes I wish we did. But we elect representatives to go vote for us. Now, they don't do too good a job of that. But we have a representative in heaven. You know what? He's always right. We're represented by a heavenly high priest. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. That's a big statement. Our Lord has not entered into the tabernacle of this earth. That's what that means. He has not entered into something that's upon this earth that's made with hands. But those things were there for a purpose and for a reason, because if you study the tabernacle, everything in that tabernacle points you to the high priest. Everything in that tabernacle points you to Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says here that Christ has not entered into that holy place that's made with hands. Now, those people that formed and fashioned, you read about it in the Old Testament. We've studied it before. The Lord didn't go to that one. He says here those are just figures of the true. You see, what we see in the Old Testament about the tabernacle, that's just a picture of where we're going. It's just a picture. And the Lord has not entered into that place, holy place made with hands, which are a figure, or what the figure of the true. But notice what it says here, the last part of verse 24 of Hebrews 9. But into heaven itself. I'm glad that's where he is. But into heaven itself. Now, not sometime later, not sometime in the future, he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. And those last two words are very important. For us. He's my representative. He's my high priest. He's that one that pleads my case. He's that intercessor. I'm glad to have an intercessor. I'm glad I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad I have one that will plead my case before God. And God sees all the sin that I do and sees all the wickedness in my heart, knows everything about my life. And Jesus Christ says, yes, but Father, He's trusted me. He's my advocate. And one day He'll be presented to you spotless and pure and clean and holy and righteous. He's my representative. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a heavenly people? We have a people that we have a place that we go to that's just wonderful and perfect. God has prepared it for us. And we have not even imagined the joy and the beauty of what the Lord has done for us. So sometimes when, maybe sometimes at work, things don't go too well, and somebody ridicules you for what you believe, just understand you're a heavenly person. When somebody makes some vile statement about the Lord, or this, just understand they're ignorant of spiritual things because they're earthy. They're still of this earth. And just be thankful that God has changed your heart, changed your life, changed your position, changed your home. We have a heavenly home because we're heavenly people. And it's all because of the birth that we have in that one that is told to us in verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Thank God tonight we have a Lord. He's from heaven. And He tells us that where He is, there we may be also. Let your heart not be troubled, because where I am, there you will be also. And so we have a knowledge tonight that we are a heavenly person. When the devil gets on your back, does he ever get on your back? Does he ever ridicule you? Does he ever make it a bad day for you? Just remind him you're a heavenly person. Just remind him what your destiny is. And just quote some Scripture, because the devil can't stand Scripture. That's why we ought to know some Scripture. He can't handle it. And he'll flee from us if we resist him. We are certainly a blessed people. We're blessed because of our birth. It's all from heaven, from the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.